Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program of the Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have an outstanding show coming up for you today, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Whether it's a topic that we're covering or something that you want to talk about, you're always welcome to join in the show. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, you can check out our regularly aired broadcast. Most of those are up in podcast form on most of the major podcasting sites. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, you can do that at castbox.com. Another place, you can just search SBN or Scuttlebutt, and you will be able to listen when you would like to. Also, follow us on Facebook. A lot of good information there, and you can check me out on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and we've got a packed show for you today. So if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on the topics that we cover, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, a Senate committee has passed a defense spending bill with a hefty raise for the troops. We'll give you the details. And with military spouses facing higher than usual unemployment, the Marine Corps is looking to assist them in finding jobs as they transition from one location to another. We'll give you some of the details there. Also, momentum's growing on Capitol Hill to address the so-called widow's tax. We'll tell you what you can expect. And the VA is ready to roll out the Mission Act. Now, this was you could say it's part of Donald Trump's signature legislation when it comes to the VA. They're set to roll that out on June 6th, the D-Day anniversary. But much like our troops in Normandy, don't exactly expect smooth sailing with that. And speaking of World War II, we bid farewell to another of the greatest generation. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on a Twisted Web, a good one you don't want to miss. But first, we here at SBN have highlighted what I would say is some of the corrupt political prosecution of military service members during the Obama administration. And some of this has been held over into the Trump administration because those prosecutions are ongoing, and it seemingly there is no speedy trial for any of these members. And this is not the Abu Ghraib type stuff. This is soldiers and Marines making split-second decisions to save troops under their command, only to have the politically motivated JAG Corps come after them. And recently you've seen some cases that have kind of made their way into, I think, the broader media spectrum and into the general public rather than just simply in the military circles. And an interesting story, and the story's from military.com, and I think it's as interesting just because it's following up on some reporting that the New York Times did, and the New York Times specifically came out and said that President Trump could be preparing to pardon several people accused of war crimes. Now, I think, you know, there has been a case where he has already, I believe, he has pardoned one person who was convicted. Now, just to put this into some sort of paradigm, if you think about who was pardoned by President Obama after serving very little of his time, I'm not going to say her time, but his time, for exposing our military secrets and doing so willingly, was, of course, Bradley Manning. And I think if that had not occurred in the way it did and you didn't have the whole transgender and everything else, I think that would have been an entirely different episode. But there was no ballyhoo from the New York Times when Manning was pardoned. And of course, we know Manning has subsequently gotten into additional legal troubles. But yes, the New York Times has reported that President Trump could be preparing to pardon several people accused of war crimes, which is entirely within his right as the commander-in-chief. But now you have legal experts coming out saying that if the commander-in-chief gives a legal pass to troops who've been accused of war crimes, these quote-unquote experts warn that it could disrupt the order and discipline the military relies on to function. Phil Cave, who's a retired Navy JAG and who now runs a law firm, looks like out of Virginia, who I guess his bread and butter is trying to work on these military cases. He says that the president issuing pardons before the case has been tried could lead fewer troops to report war crime allegations. I mean, I don't see there's any connection there. But he said, quote, there's a negative impact on people who are trying to do the right thing. They could be discouraged from reporting it because they'll think, if nobody cares, why should I? If I'm the military service member, I think I report it, let the system play out. But I think that the president stepping in should be able to step in, especially if he believes that there is some sort of political bent to the prosecutions. Now, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Rachel Van Lendingham, she is a Southwestern Law School professor and former JAG, she said it could also make it harder for military commanders to enforce the high standards for all U.S. personnel that are expected to uphold in combat situations. And I think those are all great. They're great platitudes. The problem is, if you look at the cases of these that have been prosecuted or are being prosecuted, you're looking at a case like Navy SEAL Chief Eddie Gallagher. He's facing trial for allegedly shooting unarmed civilians and killing a captive Islamic State group fighter. The thing is, when you actually look into some of the details there, it makes no sense for him to have done what he's accused of. They're also saying he's considering a pardon for the Marine Scout sniper seen urinating on Taliban corpses in a video that surfaced in 2012. Now, I guess it's good that they didn't have YouTube back when General Patton was around. I mean, he got into enough trouble without it. But I guess, you know, these days you couldn't go pissing in the Rhine just to, I guess, celebrate some of the victories. But I think this story is almost trying to create a problem for the president and for the military. Instead of talking about that, you've got folks like Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, who's trying to circumvent the chain of command. You know, President Trump is working well within his rights. Whether or not he wants to wait until they're found guilty, if they want to do that, bring them to trial. Let us hear what's going on. Then let the president do what he needs to. Anyway, on the other side of the break, some good news for the troops and a spending bill from the Senate. We'll talk about that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
When the Green Beret trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to get in touch with us and join the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SVN. And a lot of times I will pop stories up on the Twitter feed throughout the course of the week, and some of them may be kind of a precursor to things that we'll discuss on the show. It may just be topics that we'll end up discussing maybe elsewhere on Facebook, but a lot of interesting things that are coming down the pike when it comes to our military and our veterans that pop up here and there. Well, they say that nothing ever gets done inside the Beltway. Well, nothing good, at least. But a Senate committee has passed a defense spending bill with some goodies for the troops. And, the story, it popped up on military.com. Stars and Stripes covered it as well, I believe. But the Senate Armed Services Committee passed a defense policy bill that authorizes $750 billion in Pentagon spending in fiscal 2020. And the lead-in says it resoundingly passed. It's a 25-2 vote. And you've got to think anything that's going to pass, well, in the Senate especially, 25-2 has got to have some, it's got to have some goodies for both sides. But some of the interesting things in this bill, there was a day-long debate. Of course, this is just in the committee. This is not on the floor, the Senate floor. But it's just in the committee. It was a day-long debate on the legislation. They adopted 298 of 433 proposed amendments. And you've got to think, I mean, if you think of some of the debate that you, if you ever watch C-SPAN, or you have to look at some of that debate and imagine how they passed that many or adopted that many amendments. Somebody was working overtime. But the interestingly enough, and this is what I find curious, the bill supports roughly the same end strength, troop strength, as President Trump in his budget proposal. Now, remember, his budget is simply a suggestion. I mean, they can just use it, you know, basically for bird droppings, bird cage liner in the Senate and the House. But it supports roughly the same end strength as requested by the president, which is 1.34 million service members. Probably, I think the highlight, well, I guess it depends on what you look at as a highlight, but from a grunt's perspective, it gives a 3.1% pay raise, which is the largest pay raise in over a decade. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. The economy is moving along. You know, inflation is there in certain areas. And when you look at it, when you start looking at what it's going to take in basically a full employment scenario, what it's going to take to keep the ranks filled, yeah, you're going to have to compete with the civilian world. So that 3.1% pay raise will probably do well to assist in that. It also provides $3.3 billion for Navy, Air Force, and Army National Guard to rebuild following flooding and hurricanes in Nebraska, North Carolina, and Florida. And probably for me, I think one of the more interesting pieces to it is that it authorizes the creation of a U.S. Space Force within the Department of the Air Force, and would establish the current commander of Air Force Space Command as the head of the U.S. Space Force. So if you ever, you know, if you ever watched the old James Bond movie Moonraker, you know, awful James Bond movie. But of course, you know, they had all the troops up there and they were zipping around and firing laser guns and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I guess we could do that as long as we could have Jaws in there somewhere. It also bumps up the funds that can be spent for joint strike fighters more than the president requested. 12 new warships. So there's some interesting stuff there, and I think it. I don't know. I really would have to look at it to be able to see exactly why there was so much support from the other side. But I do think it probably has to do with some things that are on sort of the touchy-feely side of things, including some of the influence of the Pentagon and handling issues such as housing woes on military bases. An interesting little, detail, but eliminating purchases of firefighting foam containing hazardous chemicals. And here is a part that I think is probably one of the more disturbing: adapting the Uniform Code of Military Justice to improve sexual assault reporting processes and prosecutions. And I've got to dig. I haven't been able to find out yet, but I don't know if that's Kirsten Gillibrand's sneaking that in to basically usurp the chain of command. We'll have to see. Of course, here you go. The exact details of many provisions weren't provided outside of an executive summary. The bill does contain roughly $3.6 billion to reimburse the Pentagon for money used to build a wall along the Mexican border, but did not provide additional funds requested by the administration. And this, to me, is disturbing. It would allow the transfer of prisoners from Gitmo to the United States for medical treatment. They're saying that the Navy hospital at Gitmo doesn't have the capabilities to provide some specialty treatments. As far as I'm concerned, those folks down there don't deserve any specialty treatments, and you can send doctors down there, but don't let them come and step foot on U.S. soil. One of the other provisions, and it's in the bill, says something about improving spousal employment, but the Marine Corps apparently has already jumped ahead of that, and this is a great story. The Marine Corps announced a policy of covering the cost of spouses' professional credentials and licensing fees following a permanent change of station move. They're going to reimburse up to $500 per PCS to cover the cost of professional licensing or recertification to include exams and registration fees after a move. And the policy aims to reduce military spousal unemployment. Now, the estimate there is somewhere between 16% and 24%, and of course that's a wide range and well above the national averages for unemployment. But you know, when you think about it, this is it's a good thing to a certain extent, because if you're bouncing from one place to the next, you may be licensed as a nurse or an EMT or whatever it may be in one state, and then you move to another state because your military service member PCSs, and because many of the states have not been able to figure out reciprocal agreements on how to do this, then you are suddenly back in at, you know, at the back of the line to try to go through and get recertified or get the licensing that you need to be able to do the exact same job in another state. The benefit is backdated to December 12, 2017. So the Marines, if they want this, they have to apply for reimbursement through their admin office. They'll need copies of the orders, the old certification or license, the new certification, and receipts showing the payment of fees. And the service members must submit the paperwork before May 2021. The Air Force and the Army announced details of their reimbursement plan earlier this month. The Navy is expected to follow suit next month. So, you know, it's good news. It's a step in the right direction. Especially for those military spouses that are out there who find it difficult to be able to maintain employment in the field of their choice. So, some good news there. As always, you can go to thescuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on this story or any of the stories that we have covered. And on the other side of the break, politicians look to tackle the widow's tax. We'll talk about it when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans in 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. If you'd like to listen on demand, you can always catch our regularly aired broadcast via most of the podcasting sites. Just search SBN or Scuttlebutt, and you can pick up those on demand. Tom's tirade are up on CastBox.com. Just search tirade or SBN or Scuttlebutt. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And, of course, we want to thank the folks that helped make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly who fight for our veterans and their legal rights every day. Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. Well, the widow's tax, the offset that hits spouses of military service members who die on active duty or as a result of service-connected injury or illness, has been a bone of contention for survivors. And really, it's been a political football for politicians. However, no solution has been forthcoming from Congress. And you couple that with the fact that the new tax law hits some payments for survivors trying to avoid the offset. And you've got what might just be the perfect storm for Congress to actually get something done. So, yeah, there might be the political will to tackle the issue on Capitol Hill during this session. And there are a number of stories coming from a number of different areas. One of the largest veteran service organizations that have really been on top of this is MOA, the Military Officers Association, and they've really been working on this for a number of years, and you've got a couple of different bills now, and they say there's momentum growing in Congress to repeal the new tax hike, and as well as the military spouse pay issue or the widow's tax. You know, every year I think there is momentum and they get to the point where they all kind of agree on it, except for the fact they can't figure out how they're going to pay for it. And that's like most things on Capitol Hill. You know, they'd love to be able to do XYZ, but how are we going to pay for it? Because, you know, we have all these pesky little rules that say, well, we have to figure out a funding mechanism for whatever it is we do. But the widow's tax, just for those of you, and some of you out there, if you've been affected by it, feel free to give us a call, 343-0106. But yeah, the spouses of service members who die on active duty, or the military member died of a service-connected illness or injury in retirement, they often receive payments from both the DOD and the VA. Now, by law, and this is a law that Congress wrote, and it was a law to reduce expenditures in the federal budget. But the payments, the survivor benefit plan annuities from the DOD and the dependent and indemnity compensation, or DIC, from the VA, are reduced for those who receive both, with the survivor benefit plan payments reduced dollar for dollar by the amount received from the VA. It's known as the offset. That's what most people call it. And obviously those who want to see it done away with, it's the widow's tax. Now, here's where, and as somebody who's worked in the financial services industry, this is where I think Congress, they just wrote some bad law. Because the survivor benefit plan is elective coverage, which is paid for by the service member. It's similar to an insurance annuity. Now, and folks say, well, because they paid for that, it should be paid out regardless of the additional income coming from the VA. So think about this. And many of you may not even understand the concept of a real pension, because so many companies have done away with them. For those of you who are out there who get military retirement, you understand the concept, or retirement, a traditional retirement plan. You understand the concept that if you as an individual take the maximum amount, and let's say just for numbers, it's $2,000 a month. And if you take that amount, you'll get $2,000 until you die. And that's based on a percentage of your income at retirement. However, if you want some of that to go towards your spouse when you die, because if you take the maximum amount, it goes away when you die. But if you want some of that, or a portion of that, or all of that to go to your survivor, your spouse, your widow, then you take a haircut. So instead of getting $2,000, maybe you get $1,500, $1,300. So there's a chunk that you're losing while you're retired, so that there's a payment that's going to continue to go to someone when you die. That's the easiest concept of it. Now, what happens here is that you actually, the service member pays into, they pay, they don't have a reduction, they just take a chunk of it and then pay it back, so that their survivor is going to get an amount from the DOD once they die. Well, you know, Congress in all of its wisdom said, wait a minute, you know, those are all coming out of the big pot that we've got. And we figure if you are getting X amount when you're alive, well, there still is going to be a decrease when you die one way or the other. So that's where this offset, which is a dollar for dollar based on what you're getting from the VA. And there's Congress has piddled with it. There's a supplement or an offset to the offset that can even kick in. It still doesn't equal the roughly $12,000 to $14,000 that is lost by those that are affected. And, you know, in effect, what you've done is you've told this military, the service member, the retiree, Yeah, it would be like, you know, yeah, you pay in X amount or you take this haircut and your survivor's going to be able to get X amount, except because they're also getting money from the VA, which they're legally entitled to. Yeah, and now you're going to get hit coming and going. Now, the other thing is you also have in the new tax law, and this is not widely known, but in the new tax law, if you try to avoid the offset, let's say you decide you designate the benefits to a son or daughter or another entity, well, now the new tax law views that as a payment from what they call a trust. And so instead of it being taxed as it was before at about 13, maybe 15%, it's now taxed at 37%. So it's one of those things. I mean, you have to realize you're dealing with the government's money, and believe me, they think it's all theirs. So yeah, they're trying to figure out exactly how they can get back as much of that money as they want, as they can. I don't think the new tax law was intentionally written to recapture that money. I think that's just how it was interpreted. Interestingly enough, you have two bills that are currently under consideration that would eliminate the widow's tax. One is from Representative Joe Wilson, who's a Republican out of South Carolina. And Joe Wilson has long been a supporter of our veterans and military. The other, and this is what I find interesting, it has been introduced. It's the Military Widows Tax Elimination Act. So it's the MWT. It's been introduced by Senator Doug Jones, who is the Democrat out of Alabama, who snuck his way in the back door to a Senate seat in the red state of Alabama. I think between the two of them, there may very well be enough impetus to do something this year. Again, of course, they have to find where they're going to come up with the money to pay, quote unquote, pay for it. And they've figured out a number of ways to, you know, get another $50 here or $500 there out of veterans to pay for it. But I think it's interesting that Doug Jones introduced this legislation. You know, in a state like Alabama, when you consider the fact that he is up for re-election very soon and Republicans are lining up against him, considering the other stances that he has on the majority of issues that are important to Alabamians, yeah, chances are this is about the only thing he's been able to roll out and say, yeah, I did something for veterans. That's the jaded side. I mean, just real quick, we don't have, we've got about 30 seconds left, but yeah, the VA is set to roll out the Transformative Mission Act program to expand private health care choices on June 6th. But of course, it's the VA, and they're already telling you just expect glitches. I think it's one of those things when the VA rolls something out like that, saying, yeah, hey, it's coming up, but don't expect a whole lot out of it. It probably means somebody's going to be on the hook for some retraining, and probably they're going to need a new computer system. So anyway, under the new access standards going into effect June 6th, veterans can see a community provider if they've been waiting for more than 20 days for primary or mental health care, or face a 30-minute drive to the nearest VA facility. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how smoothly or how roughly that rolls out. As always, for more information, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. For more information, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on a tangled web. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Claxton.
While much of the nation's attention has been drawn to the big top circus that the Democratic leadership of the Commonwealth of Virginia has become over the last couple of weeks, the mainstream media has been less than forthcoming about a couple of other stories from the surprisingly emboldened communist wing of the Democratic Party. I understand it is great political theater to watch elected officials of the same party try to outdo the other in the race for resignations. However, you have to wonder when you will no longer be able to run or hold political office because you did nothing more than hide under the sheets on a bad day. Oh, wait, that's Robert Byrd's claim to fame. Didn't work out so well for David Duke. Uh-oh, but he was a Republican, and they tend to adhere to the whole anti-racist thing. Anyhow, first round, newly elected Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar from the great progressive bastion of Minnesota sparked back last Sunday evening from members of both parties and former first daughter Chelsea Clinton after Omar sent a series of highly anti-Semitic tweets that accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. Okay, so before we move on, since when is it a story that politicians are bought and paid for? Oh, it's not. The real story here is that Omar, one of the rising stars of the Communist Democrats, is no stranger to anti-Semitism. Sunday marked the latest in a long line of statements by Omar that critics have slammed as anti-Semitic. In 2012, she tweeted that, quote, "Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Hashtag Gaza, hashtag Palestine, and hashtag Israel." She did not apologize for posting the tweet until last month, which means that her racist and bigoted comments were out there and endorsed by those that chose to vote her into office. One must wonder why she chose to remove them.
And the hits keep coming and coming.
In January, Omar argued in a Yahoo News interview that Israel could not be considered a democracy and compared it to the Islamic theocracy in Iran.
And so when I see Israel Institute law that recognizes it as a Jewish state and does not recognize the other religions that are living in it, and we still uphold it as a democracy in the Middle East, I almost chuckle because I know that if we see that in any other society, we would criticize it. We would call it out. We do that to Iran. We do that to any other place that sort of upholds its religion. And I see that now happening with Saudi Arabia.
And so this is where things get downright comedic, because Dems are always cast as the party of the enlightened, the brightest, the adults in the room. And yet here you are with this wet behind the ears that you can't see because of the hijab, freshman representative who is so dumb that she doesn't realize or won't admit that Israel actually recognizes five religions, including Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Wait, you mean Israel recognizes a religion that wants to destroy Israel? Yep. So you might be wondering exactly what does this have to do with SBN and our mission of promoting veterans and military? Nothing and everything. One must wonder if this anti-Semite in our Congress should be questioned about whether she believes in the death of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, our sacrifice to free them, and whether she believes it should never happen again. My guess is that she will never answer that question. I can only reference history. Many of you know that co-host Hollywood is active with Gulfport Little Theater, where they have been running the Diary of Anne Frank over the last 2 weeks. The story itself is powerful, but was magnified in the light of one of President Trump's guests at the State of the Union address, a Holocaust survivor who told their story about a day close to the end of the war, where the camp was in utter commotion. Many felt that this would be their last day as the Germans were preparing to kill them. Instead, the word slowly spread that it was not the Nazis, but the Americans that were approaching the camp and that liberation was at hand. It was our servicemen who fought to free them from the bonds of persecution at the hands of the Nazis. And I guarantee you that we will again fight against the anti-Semitic standard bearers of the Communist Democratic Party that have been elected and have not been censured by their leadership when needed. Next up, at this point, most of you are probably familiar with the militant arm of the snowflake movement called Antifa. Supposedly organized to combat fascism, they are probably the least tolerant of groups and have the most fun destroying Starbucks that don't get their order right. Anyway, On Monday, a 37-year-old man has a court date in connection with charges he's facing in Philadelphia that include aggravated assault and ethnic intimidation for allegedly being part of an Antifa mob in November that attacked two Marines, Alejandro Godinez and Luis Torres, both Hispanic. Okay, maybe that is not a shock, but until recently, attacker Joseph Alcoff was a well-connected, aspiring, progressive political player in Washington who may have even had a hand in key political proposals. His endorsement apparently mattered to several congressional Democrats in February of 2018. He was also pictured with now House Financial Services Committee Chairwoman Maxine Waters. The totally unhinged Democrat from California and ranking Democrat on the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Both committees oversee financial regulatory policies Alcoff was advocating. He even met with then Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Director Richard Cordray and other senior CFPB officials on April 2016, again in March 2017, and a third time in May 2017. So he was obviously no stranger to the upper echelon of the Obama administration. Of course, now he is being treated as if he was the city governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general of Virginia when it comes to Democrats. They, like their failed predecessors, are the party of the useful idiot, using individuals and groups for their own power until they can be expended. Unlike the patriots who liberated Europe from the concentration camps, and the Marines who were attacked because of their skin color, they are traitors to this nation and the principles upon which it was founded. Most of all, they are cowards, and that is why they hide under the sheets. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. By the way, have I mentioned I'm pissed off yet?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt.